again, as we have this opportunity to do so, it's always a blessing to be here. To go along with this morning's lesson, this morning we went and talked about the Godhead, and talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how they are one, but also how they are separate. I felt like this lesson kind of was a decent lesson to go along with that. Not necessarily on the same point, but continuing to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a topic that some people get a little confused about, I believe, sometimes. And it's good to know how to go forward and point some points out and talk about Jesus and his deity. And was he human or God? And when I bring out this lesson, I'm not bringing out the lesson of just Jesus' deity as somewhat what we talked about this morning, that he was there in the beginning and that he will be there in the end. But as he lived his life on this earth, that's the question you're asking, is was Jesus human or God when he was walking upon this earth? Did he keep his deity as he walked upon this earth? Was he human? Was he God? Was he both? And that's what I want to look at this evening as we open up our Bibles to study the Word of God. Because we pointed out this morning already, we turned to John chapter 1, verse 1, and brought out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made through him. And so Jesus was there in the beginning. He created all things. And so he was there in the beginning. And so we talked about his deity in that point of view. But now just point out that whether or not he had his deity as he continued upon his life on this earth. And so the first point I want to bring out and talk about, was Christ human? Did Jesus become human? Did he fully become a man? And so some points that we bring out to show that Jesus is human. One is, we just turned to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we read about the birth of Christ, and of course we talk about the things that made it spectacular, to the point of prophecies and being born of a virgin, but the fact that he was born of a woman, as we go forth here in verse 18, Matthew 1 verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in his dream, saying, 'Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to make Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and for he will save his people from their sins.'" And so here, bringing out, Jesus was born of a woman. Yes, there's part of it that was spectacular, that was a miracle, but part of it was as it normally was. Mary was pregnant. Mary carried Jesus. Mary bore him. And so therefore, he was born of a woman. But not only that, but as you look at this, and this is a point I've probably looked over in the past, is a point to show that his human side, is you have his genealogy, right? You have those, you go back and look, and you see his grandparents, his great-grandparents, all the way back to David, all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Adam. And as we look here in Matthew, as we look in Luke, and we look down that genealogy that leads to Christ, we can see his family tree. Just as today, we can do that. We sit here, we know who our parents are, and then you can look back to see who your grandparents are. And today we can do our DNA test, and you can look in the past. One of my brothers enjoys doing that, doing the research and looking in the past and saying, "Oh, see here, we had some Viking blood over here and some of this over here." And you go back and you can see where you came from. Jesus could do that. We have it written down right here in front of us that God made that promise to Abraham. God made that promise to Isaac and to Jacob. And God made that promise to David. And so we see that fulfilled. We see his family tree. Now, a point to show that that's not part of the Christ or deity. That is a human side. Because as we brought out this morning, Jesus was there in the beginning. Before there was time, he was there. Before all other things were created, he created us. He didn't have a genealogy to go back and back and back to look at as his deity from the beginning of time. But when he became human, He did gain. He gained a family tree. And so that is a human part of our Lord and Savior. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you open up your Bibles with me there and read along, starting there in verse 41. Luke 2 and starting in verse 41. It says, "And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days and returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went the day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were astonished and at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously.' And Jesus said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?'" And so, one point to bring out is Jesus aged as a human. Again, Jesus started off being born of a woman. He aged up. He didn't just all of a sudden appear and start teaching and went straight into his ministry and performing the miracles and going forth. Jesus aged. Here we sit. We read about his birth. We come here. We see that he was 12 years old. He's as a child, not telling his parents what he is doing. And, you know, that's human, right? And as a child going forth and he's doing, you know, yes, he's doing what needs to be done. And he's working about the father's business. But he didn't tell mom and dad what he was going to be doing, where he was. He didn't come when he was called, you know. And so Jesus was human. Jesus was human when he came down to this earth. Jesus was 100% human. As we read the scriptures and we search them and see these things in Matthew chapter 5. Again, another part to point out about his humanness and being human is that Matthew chapter 4, ignore the text up there. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, as Jesus is being tempted here. And you see here in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 2, it says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" And so here, Jesus was hungry. He was thirsty. And of course, then within that, I didn't write it up there, is that he was tempted. Jesus was tempted. That's a human side. As we point out, God is not tempted. God, thou shalt not tempt God. And so we can turn to James chapter 1 and see that it tells us there that God is not tempted. James chapter 1, and you read here in verse 13, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And so deity part of Christ wouldn't have been able to be tempted, but Jesus was human. Jesus became flesh. Jesus lived upon this earth and he relied on food to be able to live. He relied on water and drink to be able to survive. And so after he had fasted for many days, he became hungry. He was human. And even after this part, as you read about verse 11, after Satan continues to tempt him, he was so famished. You got to think, going that long without eating or drinking. Here, the angels had to come and minister to him. Imagine fasting that long. He would have been very weak at this time and point. Jesus was human. As he went through these things, as Jesus lived his life upon this earth, in John chapter 19, in John chapter 19, you read along with me here in verse 33 and 34. John 19, verse 33 and 34 says, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." And so as we look at this again, Jesus died. Jesus bled.
Jesus had water in his body, as all of us do, that certain percentage that we contain inside of us. Again, Jesus was human. Interesting fact that as I was searching this up, and I'm sitting there, of course, there's plenty of verses that speak about the blood of Christ when we talk about the Lord's communion. And we know that as we think about everything that had taken place, he bled. His body was pierced and ripped open. I'm like, there's actually not a lot of verses that talk about, or verses that actually point out that he bled when he was pierced, or the blood that did run down, just the crown of thorns was twisted up on the side of his head. So we just imagine that blood. Here's the only spot when it's talking about his death, it actually brings out the blood. But we see and we know, just imagining, knowing what would happen when he was scourged, knowing what would happen when his hands were pierced, knowing that crown of thorns being placed on his head and then the soldiers hitting it. A lot of blood was shed. He was human, and to the point that he suffered as he was beat, as he was scourged, as he was nailed to a cross, and also to the point that he died. Again, that is human. All are appointed to die once. Jesus was human. And by being human, I want to make a side point about that, is while being human, that makes him the perfect person to be our mediator. That makes Jesus the perfect one to be able to intercede for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, and reading in verse 11, Hebrews 9 verse 11 says, "But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and ashes and heifers, sprinkling unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, but much more shall be the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for redemption of transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive promise of eternal inheritance." So here it brings out how he is our mediator, how his blood washes our sins away. And then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 here, talking about him being the high priest, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He was tempted as we are. He lived a life as you and I do. He was born of a woman. He was raised up with parents that raised him, told him yes and no, that was concerned for him, that worried to death when they could not find him and sought him out. And when they found him, they grabbed him. "Where have you been? Why was you?" He went through all that. I know I put my parents through that. I know I did. I'm trying to remember which theme park it was. It was Kings Island, Holiday World. We went to a theme park. I brought a friend. We eventually split up. We're supposed to check in every couple hours. Well, I showed up once and then I didn't find him. And so we just thought we could just keep on going. So we tried to check in every night. And so I don't know how much time went on without checking in on my parents, but it was dark out. Park's ready to close or whatnot. Finally, they're there in the front. We're there in the front. And whew, did I hear it? But that's what I see right there as Jesus' parents finds him at 12 years old. Why did you not tell us? Why? What would make you think we wouldn't want to stay here, or at least know where you're at? And we're concerned. And then as he continued through life, he went through those temptations as you and I do. I know as I study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I read about him teaching the disciples and teaching people and having the scribes and the Pharisees and lawyers ask him questions. And you're standing there saying, "Man, look at the temptation they continue to put at the door." Because how many times he has to re-explain himself? How many times he has to go forth and put them in the place? How many times he has to put Peter back and say, "Calm down, slow down, get it right here. And, you know, if you're not going to learn, then I'm just not going to teach." temptations that he went through on a daily basis, just as we do. The temptations that he had to face, the hunger that he had to go through. And so he understands our temptations. That's why we can pray through Christ. That's why when we go to God, our Father, in prayer, we can pray through the Lord, because the Lord understands our weaknesses. He's been through them himself. So the question comes up, was Jesus human? Yes. Yes, he was human. But the other question is, well, then was he God? Did Jesus keep his deity? Was he God as he lived his life upon this earth? We can go back to Matthew chapter 1 and just look at the name that he was given here. Matthew chapter 1. And in verse 23 said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. He is deity. Jesus kept his deity. It is God with us. He came down to save us. And he kept his deity. He was indeed God as he lived his life upon this earth. We see many points as we go through here in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And you read along with me here. And in verse 58, as Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so as Jesus brings this point out, he's bringing out that he still is. He is I am. And he's saying, "I, Moses," you know, what answer? He said, "Who do I say sent the people? Who do I say sent me to go to Israel and to Egypt and to free Israel from Egypt? Who do I tell the Pharaoh sent me? Who do I tell the elders?" And God said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am that sent you." Jesus saying, in the beginning was me. I was there. Jesus is claiming his deity here. He has knowledge and knowing that of his creation and what he has done before Abraham was me. And so when we look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, when we look there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, and it brings out here saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus here again, he was there in the beginning. He is there at this time and point as we read about it here. He is Christ now. He was Christ then. He was the Lord then. He's the Lord now. And guess what? He's going to be the Lord in the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come. Always. It's always been. And always will be. Part of the Godhead. He will always be God and keep his deed. So we need to see that Jesus was God. In John chapter 20, and there's so many miracles, and that's why I wanted to turn to John 20 and read this here. John 20 and verse 30, it says, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus did what when he lived his life upon this earth? He walked on water. He healed the sick. He was able to cleanse lepers. He was able to, you know, raise the dead. Jesus performed miracles. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus had his deity upon this earth. He was still God also. He kept his deed. And if this part isn't enough, then the next point truly proves it, and to the point that he was able to forgive sins. In Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. Mark 2 and then in verse 5 it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose and took up the bed and went out of the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Jesus forgave this man's sins. And then when they questioned him about whether or not he had the power to do that, and rightly so, if I heard someone sitting here saying, I forgive you, God forgives you, just do this, who has the power to do that? Jesus says, I have the power, and so that you know and may know and believe that I can, here's the sign. Rise and walk. Go home. And immediately, he rises and walks out. Jesus had the power to forgive sins. We see a few examples of him doing that in Luke chapter 7 as he forgives a woman. As we look at Jesus on the cross in Luke 23, as he talks to the thief on the cross, he says with Luke 23, go ahead and turn there with me. We'll just turn to that one. Luke 23 and verse 43. As the thief, of course, one thief mocking our Lord, and the other asking for forgiveness, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, remember who's talking there. Jesus is deity, in his deity, is able to forgive this man's sins. He is able to forgive him. He has that power. And so at this last moment, basically as we might say, on his deathbed, this man is pleading for forgiveness, pleading to be remembered. He recognizes who Jesus is and the power that he has. And Jesus, having the power to forgive sins, forgives him. He tells him, this day, you will be with me in paradise. So was Jesus God? Absolutely. Was Jesus human? Absolutely. And again, God's math does not add up with our math. He was 100% human. He was 100% God. He kept his deity as he lived his life upon this earth. But yes, he was 100% human. He went through all the temptations. He was raised as you and I are raised. He lived a life just like you and I did. And he went through more, I'd say more temptations and trials than I have. I suppose most of us have. And so therefore, was Christ God? Yes. Was he human? Yes. And so we need to remember that as we study about our Lord and Savior, that he is the perfect mediator because he's been through all these things for us. And he did it so that our sins could be forgiven through his blood that he shed for you, for me. So we extend the Lord's invitation, his invitation to come to him, to lean on him, to receive rest, to receive forgiveness. So if you're here this evening and you've yet to be baptized, we extend that invitation, that opportunity to be baptized, to wash your sins away. Or if you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, you need to lean on your brethren to allow us to help bear your burdens. Let us help. Let us assist you. If there's anything we can do, let it be known as we stand and sing.